everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's December 2nd, 2019 regular Othello City Council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation. Asking for God's blessing upon this city and the City Council for wisdom as we make our decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1D is a roll call. And I noticed that Councilwoman Maria Quesada and Councilwoman Gina Doro are not here, and I'm not sure whether they're coming in later, and I don't have my cell phone on me, so I'd entertain a motion to excuse them. And if they do show up, we'll note that for the record.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 1E is a citizen input. And that's the opportunity where any citizen has up to 5 minutes to address the City Council. Is there anyone here who would like to address? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move to the agenda approval on item 2. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion. Second.
Motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to our consent agenda. And entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And with that, we will move to item 4A, which is Adams County Development Council report. And we are very happy to report that Janice Roundtree is here with us tonight. And she is going to give a report to the City Council with regard to the activities of Adams County Development Council. Yes. And we'll note for the record at 6:34 p.m., Councilwoman Doro has joined the meeting. And so, Janice, do you want to take it away?
I sure will. Thank you. As Mayor Logan said, I'm Janice Roundtree. I'm the manager at the Adams County Development Council. Our office is housed here in the County Services Building in Othello. The council was formed to create a public-private partnership focused on improving the overall economic health of Adams County. And over the past year, we have been working to grow our county with over 80 community partners participating in over 200 community activities and increasing community capacity with over 1,600 community engagements. Our work includes developing relationships by assisting employers and entrepreneurs with workforce development training and planning to launch and expand their business. We provide workshops, assist entrepreneurs to launch their business, and we provided business assistance to over 113 small businesses and 50 entrepreneurs in the last 2 years. Our immediate goal for the future is expanding our support of small business and startups, including increased training for staff. We participate local, state, and national level promotions for Adams County and its cities and towns in business and industry recruitment efforts by attending trade shows, expos, local fairs, and egg shows throughout Washington, Oregon, California, and Nevada. Our most recent celebration includes the first ever Washington State Strategic Reserve Fund support for industry expansion in Adams County, of which $100,000 was awarded to SVZ here in Othello. In October, we hosted the third annual career showcase at the Othello High School. For this event, we take over the Othello High School campus for an entire Thursday. We invite local businesses to the school for the one-day event, where we escort over 1,500 students from 8th grade through 12th grade throughout the showcase to meet local business people to talk about career pathways and future careers here locally upon graduation. The success of this event continues to grow as we have had 12 businesses increase from last year, bringing us to 45 exhibitors at our showcase. And after this year, we're figuring that we've probably reached maximum capacity with what the school facilities have to offer. So we're definitely pleased that we can fill the space and the kids have plenty of options for people to talk to. The Adams County Economic Development Team has played a continuous supportive role in supporting the Othello Farmers Market Project, and we're an active partner in the state's career-connected learning efforts. we have a municipal services agreement with the cities and towns in the county, and that agreement is to assure that the work we do is on behalf of the cities, towns, and our county. So all of the funding that we receive helps us do our work better, to campaign for our towns to keep growing. And that was all I had to present for you this evening. If anybody has any questions, I would entertain that.
Thank you, Janice. Council? Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Yes, I did bring a copy of our annual report for
Thank you.
And I thank you for inviting me and listening to what I have
said. You're welcome. Thank you, Janice. And now we'll move to the second item B on current business, and that's the Palouse to Cascades Trail in Adams County. And Rachel is here with us from Spokane. Rachel, do you want to go through your presentation and introduce yourself to the City Council
Absolutely. Tonight? Yes. Well, first off, thank you so much for having us today. I know we gave you some notice, and I appreciate you getting us on the agenda. My name is Rachel Granrath. I work with a company called SCJ Alliance, and we have been hired by the Department of Commerce to create a report in regards to the Palouse to Cascades Trail specific to Adam and Whitman County. And part of our outreach effort is to come to each of the cities and towns that are impacted directly by the trail. And obviously Othello is one of these communities, which is why we're here tonight. And I just wanted to give you a little information of why we're here, what we're doing. I know you've heard a lot of this over the years. This is not us coming in and reinventing the wheel. It's really coming in and capturing what the communities, the property owners adjacent to the trail, and addressing a lot of the concerns that have existed for years. And the state is looking to fund project-specific opportunities, and this report will guide that. So this is relatively informal, so feel free to interject and ask questions or give some insight. This is a little bit of framework to introduce the project and talk about why we're here and what we're doing, some of the assumptions we've seen along the way, and some things we've heard from the community members and property owners that are adjacent again. But what I'm here to do is really to gather your thoughts, things you've heard, any input that maybe is specific to the city of Othello, and then we can take that back and include that for the state legislator as they come to their session in January. So with that, this is the bridge in Rosalia, but we'll kind of walk through this PowerPoint and give you a little bit of an introduction on what's up and why we're here. And so we'll go a couple down. Go to the next one, please. Thank you. The vision, really, the governor's office has identified the Whitman and Adams County to be a specific link in the trail that's been missing. And part of this report is to address the concerns of adjacent property owners and towns and make sure that the state is moving forward in a positive direction. The intent is to be part of the Rails to Trails Conservancy, which links Washington, D.C. to Seattle, all on a path that doesn't include automotive traffic. So the state of Washington wants to be a crucial component to that, which is why they're looking to focus in this area, because there are some missing portions and some improvements that need to be made. So we'll go to the next one, please. Thank you. This assignment came from the Department of Commerce, but is in response to a proviso that was done in the state legislature. And that scope is to do outreach and provide a report to the state as they open their session in January of 2020. So again, what we're doing in this process is to inform that report.
Rachel?
Yes.
When you say this was done under proviso, I'm not familiar with that. What does that mean?
So the state, when the legislature gathers, can assign specific conditions for funding of the Department of Commerce in this case. So in this case, the Department of Commerce said they will release funding for specific improvements. And in this case, they're really looking to release funds in 2020 for the TECO trestle. There's improvements between Malden and Rosalia to the trail itself, the trail surface, and then the Beverly connection over that Columbia. So those are some major improvements that they will not release funding until this has been met, because the state hasn't done their due diligence and outreach. So we're kind of the facilitator in this case for the state.
Okay, so the state had a goal.
Yes.
And they said they'd had enough input from the 9th district saying that we probably should do this, but we haven't done our due diligence, so they hired your firm, and then your firm is doing the due diligence.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're a third party in this, so we're really taking the feelings and thoughts of the community and giving that to the state. So whether they do anything with it is one thing, but we're taking these thoughts and concerns and ideas and packaging it for that.
Okay, go on. So, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. So as part of this this process, we'll go to the next one. Thank you, Spencer. We had assumptions that were from feedback we've had. I've talked to probably 20 to 25 individuals on the phone. And then we've had a stakeholder engagement meeting in Rosalia, and now we're in the Adams County area. But some of these assumptions is that this trail is a valuable asset statewide, and that it should be preserved. So, and again, feel free to interject with your thoughts and ideas in this as I go on, and I'll kind of run through this relatively quick. So we'll go to the next assumption. There are opposing viewpoints on the trail. And the future of the trail and its merit should be fully considered on all of opposing viewpoints. This effort will encourage open conversation. So as part of this, we're trying to really encourage honest dialogue. We've held meetings in council chambers and in workshops. And again, these recommendations are meant to be organic and not from us. They're from you. Private property rights are really important and need to be respected as part of this. A lot of what we're running into is agricultural development and ag land, whether that's wheat or cattle raising, need to mesh well with trail use. And there's some conflicting issues there as well. So, report recommendations, what we're gonna package, is going to have opinions of those who participate in the process, and understanding that there are other ideas that may emerge as we go forward into the future. So we can't capture everything, but for those who are participating. The process will target immediate stakeholders first. So as part of this, we really reached out to adjacent landowners that were directly impacted, and then following up on what we're calling this roadshow, which is what we're here tonight, is addressing cities and councils that are directly impacted by the trail as well. The process will rely on an advisory group. We've formed that. Again, that's the membership of adjacent property owners, varied interest and perspectives. State Parks is part of it. We've got a Bureau of Land Management, property owners who own businesses and things along those lines. So. And then the objective of this report, again, I've identified this, it will be essentially a white paper for the state to address concerns, hopes, and advancing the recommendations and design management and hopefully funding on key issues for implementation. Real quick, the process that we went through, I alluded to this. We went through interviews. I had phone calls with a lot of individuals. We formed that advisory group of people immediately impacted by this trail. And then currently what we're doing is going through a roadshow and attending various councils and commissions. Some of the earlier work has been listed here, I know, and I have handouts if anyone would like physical copies of this as well. The railroad transferred the property to the state in 1981. There were a few different plans done as part of this. The Iron Horse State Park plan was done in 2000. And then 2014 and 2016 were really the state parks plan report on how to address the trail. We're following up on a lot of that work done. A lot of things haven't changed. A lot of the conditions haven't changed. There hasn't been physical maintenance that really has changed over the years. So a lot of that still stands. It's capturing what may have been missed or people that maybe weren't outreached to directly. And then there are some maps that show some of these areas. What we're really addressing is up in the top right, you can kind of see the Othello portion. There is a detour around your town, which really directly impacts you of that detour, connecting from the Beverly, that project for the road, for the bridge, and then over to Warden. And then it continues through Ralston, Ewan, and over to Malden, Rosalia, and ending in Tico. So there are some gaps, and you can see that better in this map as well. There's some gaps on the original trail that was the railroad, which we've made up for with those detours over the years. And then again, there's some more detailed maps. You guys can look at these in greater detail. We'll skip through these a little bit more. Keep going. So this land analysis, as we look at the trail, we're looking at proximity and adjoining land and features and how we can address those in this report. So think of, as you go through what this means to Othello, or things you like, things you don't like, things you would like to see or need, think of that as it relates to your town and your understanding of Adams County. So ultimately, what we are reporting on is outcomes and results of this report. Issues then, issues now, and how we can strategically address these through accomplishments. Some of the things we've heard before are there's a lot of trespassing from bikers and horseback riders, people who are using this for long distance recreation. Noxious weeds come in because the state hasn't maintained the area and it's detrimental to ag lands and vandalism. So we heard that in earlier years, and if you go to the next slide, that seems to be some common ground we're still hearing, and then we'll go a little further down. So what we're looking to do through this process is really to address strategies and accomplishments and how to get to a resolve, because the state has determined that this trail will happen in some capacity. It's how do we all come to common ground. So ultimately, these next few slides really address what we're doing. We're going through issues, management recommendations, and status, and how we can address this through policies and recommendations for the state as they go through their funding of funding period for 2020. The state has identified quite a bit of funding for infrastructure and improvements over 2019 to 2020. Again, I alluded to some of these. The Beverly Bridge project is a really big component. The Tico Trestle is a big thing for that little community. And then there's $1 million or so dollars for Malden to Rosalia in resurfacing. And there's improvements as well on the west side, but this project is really focusing specifically on the Adams and Whitman County area. So advancing the conversation, a lot of things that we're asking people as we go through this process is, are there development conflicts? Are there use conflicts? What are your local priorities? And what are the localized needs? This trail really in Adams and Whitman's County are unique nodes. So the Tico area is not gonna be the same as the Othello area. What works there isn't gonna work here. And, you know, all along the trail, there's these different pockets of areas that are really unique. And I think that's something that's super interesting that's shaping to be part of this report. So. And then to kind of wrap it up, this is the advisory group meeting we had in November. This was in Rosalia. We have another one coming up in Lind. That's closer to you folks. And that's going to be December 19th. So you're all invited, and anyone else who would want to participate on a more in-depth workshop level for this trail project is welcome to come. And really what we do is, you can kind of see on this board, there's different areas and pockets that we've identified. The furthest left is the Othello area, which is you folks. Then it goes to Lind, there's a Ritzville pocket, a Rock Lake, and then the Malden and Tico area. So that's what we've figured out, have through conversations and involvement and really feedback we're getting from folks, is that these are some of the nodes and pockets that have developed as the trail has developed. And then what's next? I mentioned we're on the roadshow right now. We've got a website. It's an interactive website that utilizes a program called Maptionaire. So you can go to that link right there, and I've got handouts I'll leave with you guys here. And you can click on the map. You can see all of the reports we have. Anything I've discussed has way more detail on the web. And then the second advisory group meeting is, again, December 19th. And we'll go through best practices. We've got packets that we've delivered to all of these advisory groups that'll be online as well. And then ultimately, the report draft will be there too. So you can see everything all step of the ways and follow us. But with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and you can give me any feedback and any thoughts you have. You like it, you hate it, anything in between.
Council? I have a couple questions.
Sure.
Let's start with the trail.
Yes.
What kind of trail is this exactly? Because it sounds like it's just for bikes and walking and hiking.
It is a non-motorized trail.
And no horses, no...
No horses are allowed. Definitely
horses are allowed.
Bicycles are allowed.
Mm-hmm. Paved gravel.
It is compact earth with some gravel in some areas.
Compact earth.
But ideally compact earth.
Okay. And so there's no camping going to be allowed, no... So you're going to go from, I mean, this trail is going to go from the east side of the state all the way across the mountains to the west side of the state. And you won't be able to do that in one day.
Mm-mm.
And that's not what the purpose of the trail is, you were saying?
So the trail currently exists.
With gaps.
With gaps. And it is heavily used pretty much up until Snoqualmie. And that's because it's really well maintained and heavily trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get past that portion, it really only is used for long distance cyclists and horse groups that are primarily the, John Wayne Pioneer Trail Riders, if you've heard of them. And they're a horse group that does it annually in June, and they go the whole way. So, but they're really organized and have camping spots along the way that are on private land that they have arranged already. They have a tow trailer that brings a porta potty with them. They clean up after themselves. So they're a little more organized than the average user. It's not very friendly to the average user. You're right. Camping spots need to be addressed. Parking needs to be addressed. water stops, bathroom stops.
Just to fill up the gaps and do some of the things, I was counting up there, almost $13 million you're going to spend on this trail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for a limited use,
mm-hmm.
very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me why we would spend $13 million on something with that limited of a use,
mm-hmm.
for bikers and horseback riders. But I could see value if there were, like you said, camping spots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be the mini Pacific Crest Trail only in Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be.
It could be.
But the state doesn't own enough land to put in, so they would have to acquire property, they would have to build campsites. This could turn into a $40 or $50 million project, and maybe it's worth it, maybe it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our feedback, at least at the
right.
moment, is that spending $13 million for such limited use, I don't know if that really makes that much sense. The other thing, you said the footprint in Othello actually goes around Othello? Where exactly is the footprint?
Gosh, let me see if I have that in one of the slides.
Because it follows old railroad
trails. Yeah, it looks like it follows the railroad.
It does.
It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why does it not follow the old railroad trails?
So Othello specifically, I believe you had a organization that was formed when the railroad went bankrupt. And I don't know all of the history there off the top of my head, but I believe you acquired that back. There's an authority specifically here that acquired that land back. So there was a detour that follows dirt roads and some county roads that goes kind of around.
Okay.
That railroad is being used between Royal City and Othello now.
Othello. Mm-hmm. It's not going
but
into
the Royal City. It's between Wharton and Othello.
Royal City anymore. That's been stopped for a while. Stopped here in Othello.
Can we see that on the interactive map from your website?
You can, yeah.
Okay.
Into Royal City?
Well, we'll do that.
Been for your years.
I guess we'll need to do some homework too.
Been coming for years.
But,
And you can reach us anytime. My contact information is on the website.
Okay.
And I'll give you my card.
Council, any questions of Rachel? Very good. Thank
and if you,
you so
think
much.
Of anything as you dive deeper, feel free to outreach to us and let us know.
Okay.
But we appreciate your time. Thank
yes,
you very
thank
much.
You. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming.
Clyde Andrews would know everything about
mm-hmm.
property. Probably would.
Across the tracks.
He'd be a good person
yeah,
to
he
ask.
To start off
yeah.
there.
To go up and discuss it with.
That's like 7 years ago.
All I got to do is go have lunch at
the senior
center.
Put it up the party.
It's actually not the Othello to Royal. It's the Wharton to Othello.
And they were worried about that.
It's like, oh, they
burned the railroad track.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know more about that, too.
I've never seen one
so
going
go
past
the one here,
behind you guys'
Wharton detour.
Yeah.
Seriously, I haven't.
Yep.
Shows you that. It actually comes down Booker Road.
Yeah, of course. You're there all the time. Wow. What's a new one on me?
That railroad's in use.
It's in use.
This railroad's in use.
Okay.
This railroad's in use. So both of them are in use.
Thank you, Rachel. Let's now move to item 4D, ordinance to adopt the cap, 4C, ordinance to adopt the ad valorem property tax. Spencer, this is the first of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 budget discussion items.
Yeah, I have the last 5 items on the agenda. I'm gonna sit down here just so I can run through and work the show here. All of these items are related to the budget. Up to this point, we've had a number of meetings starting with the department heads and working through our budget council budget committee meetings. We've been putting everything together as far as our budget goes at our last couple of council meetings. And tonight, I've prepared the ordinances and resolutions that finally put the budget in motion for the 2020 year. Everything that I have to know, there shouldn't be any surprises in any of the ordinances tonight. We can just start going through them. This first one has to do with ad valorem property tax. This is the number that we receive from the assessor's office, the county assessor's office, and we use this, the property tax money that we receive in the general fund. And we've been building our budget with the assumption that we're receiving this money. The ordinance that's before you tonight is an ordinance that I'll be able to send back up to the county, which allows them to flip the switch to send the money to us throughout the year next year. With that, it's the recommendation that council approve the ad valorem. Unless there are any questions.
Yeah,
sir.
A lot.
Okay.
So does this increase property taxes in Othello?
Yes.
Well, I guess the property taxes and a fellow are set at, it's about 3.14%. It's about $3.40 for $1,000 of foundation. So whatever.
Say that one more time. $3 and what?
It's about $3.14 per $1,000
for this particular
of assessed valuation.
Okay.
For $1,000 of assessed valuation.
So we were assessed here last month, and our taxes went up. So what I see here, comparing to last year, were $89,884 more.
Yes.
So that's more of our debt, right? So if that's...
That's two things. That's assessment, property assessments. If those change as the assessor goes out and does those valuations. And the second part is for new construction. So that both of those go together to make that number.
But wouldn't this drive the 314 up, since we're up on about 90 grand more?
Of course, stays the same.
Stays the same?
Yeah.
It does. It doesn't raise.
That stays the same, yeah.
This just allows us to collect it from our portion from the county.
Mm-hmm. So we're not increasing.
No. We're not increasing.
The tax structure.
The valuations, I don't know what the valuations are doing. That's completely controlled by the assessor's office.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, the evaluation.
I think they break the county into maybe three different sections and review them located.
So the state of Washington has gone out to all the counties, and they've mandated that the counties get within 90% of the market value of the property. And Adams County's been tracking about 80 to 85%.
Which I think that's common for a lot of counties.
It is, but the state is trying to raise more money, so the state is trying to mandate that the counties get to that point where they're above 90% of the market value in every county. So the Adams County was doing what they were mandated to do from the state of Washington. Their first attempt was pretty outrageous. They how they set their valuations was a little extreme, so they came back and lessened that valuation to what you could say is realistic.
50% off from the previous.
Well, my valuation on my home went to $300,000 from 188. They then came back to me and said, okay, we're not going to go that aggressive, we're going to go to 262. Still, that's an $80,000 increase in the valuation of my home. Okay, now they set different values for the improvements, which is your property, your home, and the things that sit on the property, and they have a valuation for the property itself. Both of these it have gone up tremendously. In the past, what they would do is they would reevaluate the land and decrease the improvements.
Well, another thing is that these older houses on 3rd and 4th, they used to be worth 80, 90 grand. Well, they go to auction, they buy them at 60, 70, and they turn them for 180, 190. So that's how it drives the value up for the rest of the people.
It could be.
And then you got new homes coming in too, up it off.
One thing the assessor told me was that each tax district has a valuation. And he said that simply because the valuation of your home went up, that the tax districts cannot increase their taxing by more than 1.5% annually. So no matter what the valuation of your home is, they cannot raise it more than 1.5%.
Yeah.
So if your payment was at 188,000 valuation, $13 per $1,000 value, then with this newer valuation, you're going to be dropping it down to about $9 per $1,000 value, because they simply cannot continue to raise your taxes.
More than if they assess it If they assess it, they can raise your taxes. So I think the evaluation is based on the debt. So whatever Adams County sends for the city sends to Ritzville, the other departments, so if that drives up, if our debt is high, they cannot go 1.5% over that, off of that, that evaluation. But if they come and assess your house from 80 to 90 or 80 to 150, they're going to drive up your taxes. They can do that legally.
The county can only bring in so much, a certain percentage more than they did last year.
Yeah, they can only...
That's on evaluation.
They can only increase that by 1.5%.
Plus new houses, right. But if you've got houses that are going up and you've got other houses that are dropping in value, those houses that are going up are going to pay a higher percentage.
Well, according to Sherry, because I met with Sherry, they haven't assessed Othello for the longest time. So here they come, they hire somebody, contract them out, and they start assessing Othello. So it drives the market up. I mean, a $90,000 house, they're selling for $180,000. So that's assessed, and they can assess you at that value.
Right.
Up to 90%. But your evaluation is based on the debt. Am I right? That's based.
I don't know exactly what the valuation or how the assessor's office values that, but our portion, the piece that the city gets for the property taxes, is about 3.14% per thousand of that value, whatever that value is that property is assessed at. So the value,
is it a percent or is it a dollar value? You said $3.14.
Yes.
Per $1,000.
So per $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not 3.14%.
Sorry. 3.14
dollars.
So our taxes have not gone up because Ritzville has not gotten the evaluation yet from all the departments. So that's gonna give us our tax base. Now the assessed is a different story. If you were assessed at $80,000 more, you're gonna pay for that difference.
But that has a cap, and that's what these guys are saying.
The valuation does, not the assessed. Because if you were not assessed for 10 years and all of a sudden they assess you, that's why.
That's right, not the assessed. That can go up as much as it can, but the amount of tax that they collect is capped.
Based on that assessed value.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So for this ordinance, this just is looking at the last three levies, and so that it's updating what the last three levies is so that we can collect our portion of what the county has set. There's nothing changing.
Correct.
Okay.
So I move to approve the ad valorem tax ordinance for the fiscal year 2020.
Thank you, Jim.
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor of the motion to approve the ad valorem tax ordinance for fiscal year 2020, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. And now, Spencer, let's move to item 4D, the capital facility plan.
At our last meeting, we had a meeting where we discussed the capital facility plan. That's a plan that looks at capital and infrastructure needs out 6 years into the future as a budgeting tool. And I took our discussion from that meeting. We had a couple of changes that we made. I have put those changes into this plan and prepared this ordinance that's before you tonight. So the recommendation now is to adopt the 2020, 2025 through 25 capital facility plan.
Council?
I move to adopt the 2020 to 2025 capital facility plan ordinance.
Thank you, Mark.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to item 4E, which is the ordinance to amend the 2019 budget.
This says throughout the year, we've had different projects, different grants, different things come up before council in council chambers that the council has approved. At that time, I just said, we'll add this in the budget as an amendment. This ordinance will amend our 2019 budget with all of those conversations that we've had. There's just a couple of funds here that needed some changes. And again, all of these items have been discussed in either council or committee. With that, is the recommendation that council approve the attached ordinance approving the 2019 budget amendment?
I'll move to adopt the ordinance amending the 2019 budget.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to item 4F, which is the resolution to set the general fund minimum balance.
In past years, the general fund has an official minimum fund balance of $500,000. For the last three, maybe 4 years running, we've lowered that to $400,000 for just that 1 year period. This ordinance here will change, will make that change for 2020 and moving into the future. We talked a little bit about this in the past. We're making this change permanent. The attached ordinance, or the attached resolution, will make that change permanent. And as a resolution, this is something that the council can change at any time. And this is the number that we used as we were building our budget. With that, it's the recommendation that council approves this resolution.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution to establish a permanent minimum fund balance for the general fund of $400,000.
Thank you. Jonathan, Corey, any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And now we're going to move to item 4G, which is the ordinance to adopt the City of Othello 2020 budget.
And last but not least, this is the final ordinance that establishes the budget for 2020. This ordinance is the culmination of months and hours and a lot of work by staff and by council, a lot of input from a lot of different directions. So I put this before you and recommend that you approve this ordinance establishing the budget for 2020.
I'll make a motion to adopt the 2020 budget as presented.
Second.
Further discussion or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I do want to say that I want to thank the council and the committees as we walk through this process of this budget, and especially want to thank Spencer for all the time he put into making preparation for all of the budget meetings. And I just want to express that appreciation to y'all. I do. And with that, I'll move to item 5, which is unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business before us tonight? Hearing none, I'll move to new business, item 6. The only thing I have is, I don't know if it's new or old business, but I just want to remind you that this Saturday, starting at 3, is the Christmas Miracle on Main Street, and the parade will start at 5. Is that right, Tanya? Tanya and the committee have done a really good job putting this together. You've already seen some of the impact of it out front, and this is going to be a really nice event. There'll be vendors, there'll be a parade. There'll be Christmas music. Big Rob Productions is going to be there. So if you have time, come, bring your families. I think it'll be fun. Any other new business?
What's going on with Cabana/Motel 6? No action there.
Okay, the Cabana/Motel 6 business license has been revoked. They have not applied for a building permit, nor have they received their transient license from the state. So they're going to continue to sit until the city receives a new building permit and the state approves their transient license. Or if they want to change the use, they would have to come back and go through the whole process again, and that would come before the council. So right now, at the moment, they're just kind of dead in the water until they make some major improvements to their property and go through the administrative process with the state of Washington and then later with the city of Othello, but they can't do any improvements until they apply for a building permit.
That would have been good for the people that are coming to work at McCain's, for tax base, keep them here in Othello.
There's still time if they want to get their act together. So that's the story on that.
Okay.
Any other new business? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item 7, which is council will also receive. Actually, there isn't any new reports to receive, so having no further business, I'll conclude tonight's meeting at 7:17 p.m.